This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep.
Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Gretchen Rubin, and this is A Little Happier. I love children's literature, and one reason I love those books is that I remember them so well. As a child, I read my favorite novels over and over, and so I just recall them more easily than books that I love just as much as an adult, but haven't committed to memory. I love Marilynne Robinson's novel Gilead, but I've read it only twice. I've read Irene Hunt's novel Up a Road Slowly 10 times. So these novels are more present in my mind. In particular, I've read and reread the novels of Edward Eger. I cannot describe how much I love these books. It's interesting. Of all the writers I've read, I hope, that Edward Eger has had a big influence on my own writing. He has a clarity and humor and an ability to mix high and ordinary language and to make allusions to literature in a way that has delighted me my whole life. I love all his novels, and one of my favorites is the 1954 Half Magic, about a family of four children who has a series of magical adventures after they find an ancient talisman that grants wishes. The twist is that it grants half a wish, so if you wish to go to a desert island, you end up in the desert. So the four children have to figure out how to make their wishes properly, and they take turns making wishes, and hijinks ensue. Because I simply cannot resist, I'll read from the very first page of the book. It began one day in summer, about 30 years ago, and it happened to four children. Jane was the oldest, and Mark was the only boy, and between them, they ran everything. Catherine was the middle girl, of docile disposition and a comfort to her mother. She knew she was a comfort and docile because she'd heard her mother say so. And the others knew she was too by now, because ever since that day, Catherine would keep boasting about what a comfort she was and how docile until Jane declared that she would utter a piercing shriek and fall over dead if she heard another word about it. This will give you some idea of what Jane and Catherine were like. Martha was the youngest and very difficult. So, one of the children, Catherine, makes her wishes to take them back to the days of King Arthur, to see a tournament and go on a quest and do a good deed. The children go and they mix it up with Sir Lancelot and Morgan le Fay and others. They cause a fair amount of disruption with their adventures, and the great enchanter Merlin uses his magic to command them to appear before him. They explain what they'd wanted to do and how they came to be there, and he prepares to send them back to their own time and place so they can't make any more trouble in his time. They explain what they'd wanted to do and how they came to be there, and he prepares to send them back to their own time and place so they can't make any more trouble in his time. But Catherine protests that she didn't do the good deed she'd wished for. And this is what Merlin tells her. I was deeply moved by this passage, even as an 8-year-old, and I'm even more deeply moved by it now, as an adult. Here's what the passage says. "But what about the good deed I wished?" said Catherine. "None of the ones I tried worked out." "My child," said Merlin, and his smile was very kind now, "you have done your good deed. You have brought me word that for as far into time as the 20th century, the memory of Arthur and of the Round Table, which I helped him to create, will be living yet. And in that far age, people will still care for the ideal I began enough to come back through time and space to try to be of service to it. You have brought me that word, and now I can finish my work in peace and know that I have done well. And if that's not a good deed, I should like to know what is." The children's adventures didn't go the way they expected, and yet a good deed came from it. Sometimes trying to do a good thing is good enough, even if we fail in actually accomplishing it. I'm Gretchen Rubin, and I hope this makes your week a little happier.